Welcome again to our study on the book of Revelation. And we have already looked at the opening of six seals. And also we have seen a revelation of those who come through the great tribulation. We made the point that to come through, you have to go in. And therefore the church will go through the great tribulation. We are therefore, by the grace of God, to prepare people so that they might be accustomed to overcoming, so that when the great tribulation comes, they will overcome and they will have their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now then, we are looking at chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we have the opening of the seventh seal. The seventh seal opens with, if I could say this, the second tier of judgment. And the second tier of judgment is, as we have mentioned before in our commentaries, the second tier is the angels sounding their trumpets. Now then, in chapter 8, the seventh seal is open to usher in the judgments of the seven angels, to whom were given seven trumpets. And first of all, we find an angel who is before the altar of God with the incense, offering this incense before the Lord. And this incense is composed of the prayers of God's people who have been crying out to him day and night that he would avenge them. Well, now we see the awesome vengeance of God because of the prayers of his people upon those who know not him and who do wickedly. And so we have the seven angels with their seven trumpets. And the first angel sounded in verse 7. And there followed hail mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up. Nor the green grass was burnt up. Such terrible judgment upon the grass. Now, grass is so important. It's not a case of having lawns or so forth, but it's food for the cattle. And then we find the second angel. He sounds, and a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. These are catastrophic events. You know, the bombing of London in World War II was at that time the greatest fire that mankind had ever known. It never went out day or night for weeks. But that's nothing compared to these judgments. That was localized in one part of London. World Trade Center, tragic as it was, just touched a little part of the city of New York. But this touches the whole of the third part of the sea. And then the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, and that had life. You know, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The third part of the maritime navies, fleets of the world destroyed. Can you imagine how Lloyd's of London, who underwrites most of the shipping, would be completely broke? This is a catastrophe like of which has never ever happened or been imagined to happen before. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven,
burning, as it were, as a lamp, and fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And here we have the tragedy of these judgments taking away so many lives throughout all the world. This is going to be a universal judgment upon mankind. None are going to escape. And then the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part, and the night likewise. Can you imagine the state of mankind when they see these awesome judgments coming upon them? Fear, panic will take hold of nation after nation. And then I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which to sound." We would think those four angels plus the six other seals were sufficient judgment. But no, the worst is yet to come. And so here in chapter 9, we see that the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So often when you see stars mentioned in the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation, it refers to angels. And here is a fallen angel coming down from heaven with a key, and he opens the bottomless pit. Now, I have seen the bottomless pit. I was talking to a very wicked man once, and he was mocking the things of God. And especially did he mock the theme of mercy. And as we were talking, God opened my eyes to see the end of that man. And I saw him falling into the bottomless pit. He fell and fell and fell. There's no end to the bottomless pit. But the simple reason, it is a curve. It's a circle, elongated circle. And in the sides of the pits, there are caves where men and women are crying out, screaming in horror from their tortures for their sins. And you know, as this man fell, head first, ever falling for all eternity, you know, the word that he heard in his ears, which he could not shut, was mercy, mercy, mercy. He had condemned mercy. He had mocked mercy. And therefore, mercy would mock him throughout all eternity in the bottomless pit. And he could hear the screams of those people in the caves and the sides being tortured and tormented. And yet, he could never shut them out of his ears. Well, here the bottomless pit is open. The bottomless pit is not only filled with those of mankind who have sinned grievously against God, but they are filled with all kinds of demons, all kinds of fallen angels who are so hideous, multitudes in the bottomless pit, not only of mankind, but of fallen angels and demons. Well, now, in this bottomless pit, which is so dark too, because of the smoke from the lake of fire that's in the center, here we have the bottomless pit opened, and there arises a smoke out of the pit. Eyes of a great furnace, which comes from, of course, the lake of fire. And the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of that smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power of the scorpions of the earth. Have power. And this power given to these awesome creatures, and we will look at these creatures in a moment, you know, was to torment men and women. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing written on, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In other words, we are protected by the seal. Those that love righteousness and hate wickedness are indeed protected in times of judgment. And in this awesome judgment, we find that these awful creatures, hideous creatures, come out of the bottomless pit and they torment men for 5 months, which is about 150 days, which was the time that the flood was upon the earth. And so often you have Genesis and Revelation comparable in teaching the judgment of the flood, the judgment here of these locusts with tails like scorpions. And they were to torment men and women. And in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You know, you think we can die at any moment. We cannot. Because Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. The sovereignty of God at this time takes death away from man. And you can imagine everything they did to try and kill themselves. All they did was wound themselves and make their torment greater. Now, look at the shapes of these loathsome beasts that come out of the bottomless pit. And on their heads, there were those who wore crowns of gold, and their face was the face of men, and their hair as the hair of women. Doesn't that make you think of Sodomites and the like today? And they really reflect these awesome beasts in the bottomless pit. And their teeth was the teeth of lions. They had breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And here they go, up and down throughout the world. And they were like scorpions, and their power, it repeats, is for 150 days. God limits the time. During that time, no one can die. And the angel who governs them is called Apollyon. And that woe is past now. And behold, there's another woe. And here the sixth angel sounded. And he had a voice. And I heard this voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Do we realize that God's sovereignty, how God is a superb mathematician? This whole book was written with mathematical exactitude. The geometria of this word is so perfect that in the original languages, it could not have been written by man. Only God could have written this book for us. And here in this book of Revelation, he wants to show us the terrible judgments that he's going to cause to come upon earth. because of the sin of people. And in his sovereignty, he has four angels bound, four fallen angels bound in the great river Euphrates. And they are to be liberated. They are prepared for a day, a month, a year, for to slay the third part of men. Well, there's going to be great carnage, isn't there? And the number of the army of the horsemen which were coming was 200,000, 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And I saw the horses in the vision. And by these three, you know, was the third part of men killed by fire, by smoke, by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Horrendous creatures. Horrendous creatures. Inhabiting hell and being released to bring God's judgments upon earth. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails, which are like serpents. And then it says, the rest of men, which were not killed by these plagues, repented not of their works of their hands. They should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, wood, and neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I want to make it very clear to you that we can look at these judgments in two ways. We can see it as the wrath of God poured out upon sin, but we can also see it as the love of God pleading with men and women in the last days, pleading with them, giving them a taste of eternal judgment before the time, giving them the opportunity to repent and cry out to God for mercy. But here we see that in spite of these terrible judgments, mankind would not repent. They would not repent. And so we see the great battle, really, is in the hearts of men and women. This great battle between right and wrong is in the hearts. And how important it is to watch our hearts with all diligence. For out of it come the issues of life. These people that were idol worships, they still worship their idols, which manifestly could not save them from the judgments of God. Yet they were so held by the power of their idols that they could not turn to God. And these other sins, murders, you know, it's a terrible thing. One commits a murder and then something comes within one, a lust to kill. And it becomes so strong that people desire to go on killing, killing, killing. It binds them. And then sorceries, you know, witchcraft, and then fornication. And how often you plead with people to turn from their sinful ways, but they are bound. It's like an illustration that we sometimes give in Sunday school to show the power of sin to a child. And we take a little string and we just put it around a little boy's body and put it around his arms and we say, break away from it. Well, he does easily. He just breaks away from it. Then we put two. Well, he still breaks away. Three. But as we increase the number of those little rings of string around him, he finds it less and less easy to escape. Until it comes a time, still the same thin string that we had at the beginning, just binding him once, and he broke away easily from that. But when we put it around him a number of times, we find he cannot break loose. You see, that's the power of sin. You know, people say, what if I sin once? Oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. But, you see, one sin leads to another sin. You know, one act leads to a habit, you see. And habits are very difficult to break. And habits form the character. And so, you see, at the beginning, it may have been a young man or a young woman just playing with the sin of fornication and saying, oh, you know, it doesn't matter, I can easily stop. Or drinking, you know, I can just drink a bit and I can control it. But after a time, that which was once your servant becomes your master. You cannot break loose. In fact, you crave for it, like the drug addict. He cannot live without drugs. The smoker without cigarettes. And you see, the terrible thing is this, that even when the judgments of God come upon the earth, those who have lived a life of idolatry, fornication, murders, thefts, lies, they cannot break from it. Lying is so strong that people lie, and in the end, they believe their lies are the truth. And so here we see the terrible situation of the end times. God, in his mercy, showing forth his love in judgments, in pain, is like a father spanking a son and saying, now don't do that again, or else you get another spanking. You see, why does he do that? Well, he loves his son, and he doesn't want his son going in that way. And God, you know, from time to time has brought up judgments, earthquakes and famine and the like, wars upon nations, to try and turn them to himself. But in reality, you know, some do heed, but in the end, those who have a life of sin, the result is they cannot break away from their sin, irrespective of the judgments. Some people are habitual criminals because they've set their feet in that way. And so I want to solemnly warn you that as we study these judgments, judgments you think when people see the earth destroyed, smoke everywhere, they would turn to God and repent. And all these people knew, well know, that it's God who's bringing the judgments. But still they will not turn. You know, God said to the children of Israel, when he was judging them on certain occasions, he said, but they don't turn to him who smites them. The whole thought of punishment, you know, a father punishing his son, is that the son will then turn to the father, love his father, and walk in the ways of his father. That is the thought of these judgments here. But they repented not. And we shall see time and time again, you see, that men and women will not repent because the love of sin is so strong. And in closing, I'd like to tell you this little story to give you an idea of the power of sin. It was John Bunyan, I think, who had many visions of heaven and hell, and he records this particular vision. It was of hell, And in hell, he saw a woman being tormented by an evil spirit, for they inherit hell, and they're the, if I could say these, the jail keepers of hell, the tormentors of hell. And he had a huge spoon, and he was pouring sulfur into this woman's mouth, and John Bunyan was permitted to ask him why he was doing it. He said, well, he said, she loved gold upon earth to the extent that she wouldn't spend anything. She just loved gold. She accumulated gold. So I'm feeding her gold. And the woman responded quickly and said, he's a liar. He is not feeding me gold. He is feeding me sulfur. And then she went on to say this. She said, if it was my gold that he was feeding me, I could support it. I would love it. Even in hell, amongst all the judgments and the pains of hell, people still hold on to their love for sin. Beloved, I hope that this has been an awesome warning to us all, that we cry out to God, God, deliver me from the bondage of sin, that I might walk in righteousness, and in walking in righteousness, walk in the pathway of light that's going to lead me to heaven and not to hell. May God grant that we repent before the time. Amen. So that we might be truly those who walk with God in righteousness. May the Lord bless you. Amen.